Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
You know, even down to Scylla. Like, I think Scylla, Tyrannos Scylla, he might actually be like a really, really, really sneaky good pickup, especially when you consider how late he got him. But like, that guy started 10 games in the Big 12 2 years ago. And, you know, he wasn't bad. Like, his numbers aren't super amazing when you look at them. But, you know, I mean, to me, there's a lot of people who are sort of poo-pooing Scylla and a rope. The Columbia transfer who committed late last week, but like, to me,
one of the best players in the country last year was a Yale transfer,
right? And specifically about Tyrannos Scylla, like, if you get 6 and 5 out of him on a nightly basis, which is what you got basically from Nick Jourdain,
yeah,
then I think you're feeling pretty good about yourself, and especially if he's coming off the bench. If you're getting 6 and 5 off the bench from a guy who plays the 4, whereas, you know, you were getting basically that from a guy who was in your starting lineup last year, then I think you're in pretty good shape.
All right, my man, we appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. When we come back, we get into the list. We've had some more news from the NFL. We've also had the depth chart from Tiger Football. The official game week depth chart has been released, so we'll take a look at that and more. Also, George and I are going to pick our top five. We're going to draft our top five games of week one. We'll do that during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's the last week of August, but that means that you still have the opportunity to take advantage of the discounts being offered by our good friends over at Birdies. Birdies is Memphis's number one spot for virtual golf, 3 full golf simulators, as well as an outstanding television selection, full service bar, great menu. Makes for a great spot right there in the South Main District of downtown. During August, if you book your tee time in advance at golfatbirdies.com, groups of 4 or more can get 40% off the standard rates. Threesomes will get 30% off, twosomes 20% off. Singles, you can get 10% off the standard golf rates. Again, if you book early at golfatbirdies.com. They've also got the August membership special going on, and that means if you buy a full membership, you receive a 6-month practice membership free of charge. You got details over at golfatbirdies.com for the full information on the memberships. Also, if you're hosting your fantasy football draft, if you want to do it in person, Birdies makes for a great spot to host that as well. They'll help put your fantasy football draft on the big projectors. Makes for a fun atmosphere. Go check that out. They're also Memphis's downtown headquarters for Premier League Soccer. They'll open early on Saturdays and Sundays, 9 a.m., so you can watch some Premier League as we roll right into week one of the college football slate. Again, all the information's over at golfatbirdies.com. Go see our friends over at Birdies. They do a great job supporting the show. Make sure you do a good job supporting them as well. Let's get into the list. Tiger football. Yeah, we got our first look at the depth chart before the Chattanooga game, and basically the biggest question was already announced, which is who would be the starting quarterback. Brendan Lewis, of course, is going to be the starting quarterback, but we also got our dreaded first ever or. It's the only or on the depth chart for the offensive side of the football. We have not officially named a backup quarterback. Either Arrington Maiden or A.J. Hill will be the backup quarterback. Jonah Dillon over at the Commercial Appeal says it wasn't a surprise that the or appeared next to Hill and Maiden for that spot. The or designation is often used on depth charts when two players are still battling for the same spot or both play equally. I think this was obviously just going to be expected. I think when you're dealing with quarterbacks, you're trying to keep as many people in the building as possible. If you've decided you're naming a starter, I don't think it is going to be beneficial to you to actually pick one or the other because.
Yeah, list the other two. Alienate one over the other, especially when one of them is one of the most highly rated recruits in, you know.
I think it's the highest football recruit. Highest rated football recruit.
In university history?
Yeah. I think in like the 24/7 sports era, maybe. We also got a look at the receiver spot, according to Jonah. Receiver is one of the positions with the most question marks heading into 2025. The Tigers have very little returning production and have a slew of transfers who are talented but haven't been very productive at other FBS schools. Silverfield said that there could be lots of rotations in this room. We know for sure right now we've got Jakari Caldwell is the North Carolina A&T transfer, redshirt senior. He's listed atop of Cortez Branham, who is the Nevada transfer that we found out just got eligible last week.
I was about to say, with him, because of his connection already there with Brendan Lewis, do we think he's just slated at the second spot because he hasn't practiced much?
I would presume. My whole thing is, like, can't think of any position I care about less than receivers on a depth chart. Everybody plays.
Oh, yeah. For what it's worth as well, Caldwell being named wide receiver one, he's also, that just makes sense. He's huge.
6'4", 195.
Tall, lean, runs good routes. He's in here for a reason. I can obviously see why he's listed as wide receiver one, but they're probably going to run 3-4 at a time.
Yeah, there's just so much rotation at a receiver spot. Like, guys tend to emerge. Looking at the offensive line, so the left tackle is indeed going to be Chris Adams, the Old Dominion transfer. The left guard will be Malachi Breland from Laurel, Mississippi. He's a redshirt freshman. Yakiri Walker is going to wind up being the center. He is the Colorado transfer. Right guard will be Parker Mitchell. He is a Richmond transfer. And then the right tackle will be Travis Burke from FIU.
Good old Florida International.
So, basically,
it's basically an entire new offensive line that has only worked together, not in game speed.
And only one high school guy.
Yeah.
And Malachi Breland.
And he's a redshirt freshman, so
yes.
This is year two?
Yep.
Interesting. I think that's the best thing I have for that is, okay.
It's also one of those things where it's like, we're not going to learn anything in the Chattanooga game.
True.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't expect to learn a whole lot. If anything, this is one of those games where it's going to end up functioning to me like a preseason NFL game. They're going to be rotating guys in that are not going to get much playing time other places in the schedule to really see what they've got.
And then over on the defensive side, I'm trying to remember if we have... Is there one returner? Bell, no. Walker, no. Whitlow, I guess. Whitlow was there last year, right?
Yeah, he was.
All right, so that's one.
Watts
was not.
Brunfield
was not.
But they have given this to us in a bigger font.
I have to zoom in. Like, I'm getting old, dude.
I can't because I'm on this on the computer.
Amari Cooper is new. Yep. Chauncey is new. Logan is new. Chris Bracey, new.
Mm-hmm. Wilson, new.
Kamari Wilson is new. And then Asheem Young is also new.
You know what? There should have been. Didn't they already have a safety or a DB out for the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think they could have had a corner and a safety that could have been.
But aren't they both hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. And then also punter, we already know, we have listed, Kerrigan out of Australia.
Yep.
I think that was noted. This will be his first ever actual football game.
Yeah, when he just comes from the Australian pipeline, like they all tend to do pretty well.
Especially punters yeah. and kickers.
We did learn that DeRossier is listed as a kick returner, as is Sutton Smith, and then Sutton Smith is listed as the punt returner. But I kind of think we could have...
Are those two kind of probably going to go back and forth a little bit?
I would imagine Sutton is going to get most of the kick returns.
I could see that.
Gianni Spedek is going to be the kickoff specialist, or the kicking specialist.
I was going to say, do they have a specific field goal kicker listed? I'm
right now it's Spedek.
Okay.
And then Tanner Gillis from Olive Branch from Lewisburg is listed as the backup punter and the backup kicker. So that is our look at our Tiger depth chart. NFL cutdown days. All right, so I think to me, we obviously got the news that Terry McLaurin got his deal today.
Does this surprise you at all?
Not really, because when you saw Terry show up at the game on Saturday and start to go through all of the drills, like, that just smelled to me a lot like the James Cook situation.
Yeah.
I think it's also fair to say this. I don't think Scary Terry won the negotiation.
What was his actual deal? I saw three years, 96.
They said 3 years, 96. I've not seen anyone actually write the guarantees. When everything comes out, it's negotiated by the agent and they give you the full value. I'm going to say the Commanders probably got more of what they wanted. Now, Terry gets to play on a bigger deal this year and he gets the money, which is well deserved. But
100%.
I just do not think that you're going to see, like, if that would have been a ton of guaranteed money, that would have been announced.
I wonder if Spotrac has anything specific on it. They usually are pretty good on it.
$30 million
signing bonus.
Okay. That's there you go.
That's not crazy. I don't hate the deal. I mean, it actually fits pretty much in line with a lot of these other guys that are signing these medium-length contracts at their age 30, 31 season. It's about right. It's normal.
He basically got half of the guarantees that DK got. And it's because Terry...
DK is younger.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
But one note that I did that I thought was very interesting, and I guess if you've been paying attention, this isn't a shock, but I was surprised to read it as such. The Texans are not activating running back Joe Mixon by Tuesday's 4 p.m. deadline, making him ineligible to play at least the first four games this season due to an ankle injury. Mixon will be moved to the reserve non-football injury, which automatically rules him out for at least four games. Now, this is one of those situations, if you've been following during the preseason and during preseason games, like, where's Joe Mixon has been kind of a common question. I think this is a weird injury. So now that means, is Nick Chubb their running back one?
That's actually what I'm going to go check.
Right now, Schefter says the backfield with no Mixon to start the year is Nick Chubb, Damian Pierce. He was hot for like a couple of seconds.
And then Ogunbowale.
Yeah. Woody Marks, British Brooks, and Juwar Jordan.
Do you expect them to go out of their way to try and pick up another? Because Chubb coming off this many injuries at this point in his career... I don't know. Damian Pierce popped for about 6 weeks.
Yeah, I feel like he was all the rage in fantasy football for, was that 2023?
Yeah, that was right after his rookie season coming out of Florida. And the thing is, he's only 25. This is Pierce, by the way. He's only 25, but I mean, in the preseason, only took 7 carries. And he averaged less than 3 yards a carry.
I guess they're keeping him fresh?
Maybe, but I mean...
I'm not that high on the Texans right now.
I'm really torn because I really like what they did.
Retooling the line?
Well, not even the line. I think the line is better than last year, I think, just overall. I was going to say more so in their receiving core. Without Tank Dell for the season, they go out of the way, they get Christian Kirk, they bring in Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. And I mean, Nico Collins is still a beast. Like, he's still awesome. And their defense should still be very good for what it's worth.
We also learned today from Adam Schefter that the Dolphins kicker Jason Sanders is expected to be sidelined 4 to 5 weeks with a hip injury, meaning that Miami will need a new kicker for the start of the season.
There are sure to be some that come out through either waivers or practice squad guys. It wouldn't shock me if they pick up someone half decent.
The Saints also released Cam Akers. I feel like today was one of those days where I still haven't seen something that was like, whoa!
Are we going to get one of those this year?
I don't know. Because we're also in that peak. Everyone's trying to figure out if, even if they have a guy that they know they're cutting, everybody's trying to figure out, is there a team that wants this player so we can get like a sixth rounder out of this?
Yes, and also it feels like a lot of the guys getting cut right now, especially some of these bigger names, are veteran players that these teams in a way kind of want to do right by giving them as much time as possible to find a better landing spot, even if it's not via trade.
Yeah, so I've not seen a ton of things. Also, the Lions did release Hendon Hooker today.
Is Hendon, even though he had a bad preseason, 100%, I'll say that, is he worse than Kyle Allen?
I think it's more style of play. Like, Kyle Allen's going to be fine in a under-center, you know, establish the run, throw off play action. Like, that's what Kyle Allen's literally done his whole life. Whereas Hooker's more in the, let's spread it out, like zone read it. Like, that's just not what the Lions do. I have to wonder, like, how healthy is he?
Hooker?
Yeah.
I mean, he's coming off injury from, was that last year or year before last?
So is it the end of, I thought he had another knee. I thought he's had two knees.
He very well could have. Jeez, yeah. It feels like he's been in the league for only a couple years.
Well, and he was also old when
he was old coming out of college. That's true, yeah. So, I mean, he was drafted in 23. I think he did have another knee. I think you're right.
I thought I remember there being another preseason injury as part of it. Goal line offense. All right, okay. So Chase Goodbread over at Tuscaloosa News. I know Chase back from our days working at Rivals. He was exploring the question about, is the phenomenon of going in the gun in goal line situations, is this becoming a problem in college? And
where does this stem from, might I ask?
Well, it was more, I mean, there's obviously been several high-profile examples. I mean, last year, Texas cost themselves a chance at tying the semifinal game against Ohio State because they went in the gun and they tried to run wide, and Ohio State said, thank you, we will stuff this run. But there was also moments where he'd covered a couple of Alabama games where they would go in the gun at like the one or the two, bad snap. Like Alabama 2 years ago had a lot of problems with shotgun snaps.
True.
And so he and his team at USA Today reviewed every snap from the opponent's goal line from the last season of 15 of top programs in college football spanning all four power conferences, and found that the shotgun formation resulted in significantly fewer touchdowns than plays called with the quarterback taking the snap from under the center. From the opponent's 1 yard line, those teams scored on just 56% of snaps compared to 73% touchdown rate from under center. Yet despite the disparity, offensive coordinators called the shotgun formation more often than not, 90% to 72%. The teams that were included in the research: Alabama, Arizona State, Boise State, Clemson, Georgia, Indiana, LSU, Miami, Michigan, Missouri, Nebraska, Notre Dame, Ole Miss, Penn State, and Texas. And he also notes, while 15 is a far cry from the entirety of 133 FBS schools, it is a strong representation of the sports elite. 12 of the 15 teams that were studied made the college football playoffs final top 25 rankings, and 8 qualified for the 12-team field.
Does he note the disparity in volume? Like how often was one called versus the other, not necessarily just in goal line play?
I mean, they
which I think is a fair question, especially when we're looking at how some of these quarterbacks are coming out of college now. It feels like, now this could just be a feeling, this could just be a vibes thing, there might not be data that backs this up. It feels like more and more of these quarterbacks are not running under center at all.
Correct. So he speaks with David Cutcliffe, and he asks this question. So why are offensive coordinators so shotgun stubborn at the goal line? Multiple coaches cited the risk of a fumbled snap exchange as the reason they remain beholden to the shotgun. With freshman centers and quarterbacks entering college largely untrained in the under-center exchange and offensive coordinators dedicating most practice reps to the shotgun, fumbles on under-center snaps can be commonplace in practice, and what coaches see in practice shapes their game plan. One head coach said the under-center exchange, especially in spring practice, can be a disaster.
Wow.
But is it such a big risk that play callers should abandon the under-center plays that scored 17% more often than the shotgun? When it comes to fumbles, the data says they shouldn't be so fearful of putting their quarterback under center. In the 72 under center snaps from the 1 yard line, the 15 teams examined by USA Today Sports didn't fumble even once. He also notes Alabama coach Kalen DeBoer agreed that practice fumbles can deter play callers away from going under center on Saturdays. And while neither Alabama nor any other team researched by USA Today fumbled from the 1 yard line, the Crimson Tide lost an under-center fumble from the 2 yard line against South Florida last September. DeBoer said that while Alabama became more comfortable operating from under-center over the course of his first season at Alabama, the USF turnover, quote, remained fresh in our minds. I think that's what it all comes down to. I think it's
just that lack of experience.
I think, well, it's a most quarterbacks now, I mean, you know, I mean,
I was going to say, and this goes for MUS. Well.
I don't think MUS went under center once on Friday.
Bartlett
did have a goal line package under center with a power eye look.
Was it a handoff? Was it a, if you remember at all?
So they were doing, they did a power eye look. So they had two up backs.
Yep.
I don't even know if necessarily I'd call it a power eye. It was more like a inverted wishbone.
Yeah.
So
was it a flare out and he takes under center and throws it, or did he?
Most was trying to go power.
Okay.
They also had a couple of times where they went and gave it to one of the two up backs.
Mm-hmm.
Like they scored once on it, but like it was first and goal from the one, and they punched in it on fourth down.
Wow.
But what I've also noticed about under centers, even teams that will go under center with nobody fumbling the snap, nobody knows the footwork anymore. And like I think about it, when I was in high school, we had like we could call specific plays. Basically, every formation was designed to where you could go gun. Now, mm-hmm. we could get calls from the sideline that would say go gun, but you were technically, as a quarterback, you actually had the choice of whether or not you wanted to go under. Like, if we called zone left, zone right, and it was just, it just came in from the sideline. Let's say it was, you know.
Yeah, you can obviously run a zone.
Let's say it was ace left, H cross 192, which was our zone read with the H back. Basically, it was like duo, having the H back go in motion and cut off the backside. I could technically either zone read it from the gun, or I could go under center and do zone. But nobody does that anymore. Like
it's pretty much all operated from the shotgun.
I think it simply boils down to why people are scared of it is like it's not taught, and so it doesn't come natural to anyone. And then I think it's just everyone's so scared of if you see a fumbled snap in practice, like everyone stops the drill, and that just like sears in your mind. But I still think it is. I think the other reason probably why you see a higher rate of touchdowns from particularly the 1 yard line is I would like to see the frequency of from the one, how many times is that just quarterback sneak?
That's exactly where I was thinking. My other thought is, and this is definitely trying to essentially take what we see in the NFL and see how it trickles down, which it clearly doesn't. We don't see as much of the kind of split the difference. We don't see as much pistol.
No, but I did look up, I looked up on my own NFL numbers from goal to go. It's like 93%.
Is from under gun?
No, under center.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, under center.
Now, granted, they're pros, and it's like,
yeah.
If you don't know how to go, even pros that live in the gun, they're going under
center. They're pros, right. Yeah. Like, there is that also skill difference where you can kind of throw a lot of those guys into whatever situation, and they'll be better equipped for it than a lot of these college players, especially if they're true freshmen or redshirt freshmen who haven't had much game experience.
All right. If the field position is goal line, last year, the I don't know what is PFF designating as goal line?
Oh geez. Probably.
So it's the +2 to +1.
Okay. So 2 yards and in.
Correct. The average was higher, but it was still only 60%. So I think it's when you do from the one, that's when it's 90%. Nobody goes in the pros. Everybody's going under center from the one.
Yeah, which that doesn't necessarily surprise me. And I, like you, I wonder how many of those are just get the quarterback in the end zone, don't have to worry about any extra movement of the ball, you know, in a handoff, something like that. Also in the NFL, which we don't see this as much in college as, and we don't really see it at all, and we only really see it with one team, tush push is involved in that too.
Tush push, I mean, that's the other thing is...
And there are multiple quarterbacks in the NFL that run essentially themselves as the option, Bills, Ravens,
I also wonder if another part of it is coaches don't want to go under center and then have essentially like the A-gaps muddied up where like I almost wonder it's like if you go under center is everybody just going to pinch hard and then you're worried about my center who doesn't snap it is not used to snapping it under center like basically just having like a double A-gap blitz.
Yeah. No, I could definitely see that. I mean, even then if you're lined up in even in the shotgun there, I mean, a lot of the times there are also tells that it's going to be a run play versus not. You could have the same thing happen even in the shotgun.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, George and I will snake draft our top five games of week one of college football. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Yeah. All right, we got game week. Week one officially begins. George and I will do a snake draft. George, call it in the air, heads or tails?
Tails.
Smart, you got to go say tails. Tails never fails. All right, it's heads. All right, so we're going to snake it.
All right.
I'll take the number one pick. I thought about taking...
Oh, so you could get the two middle.
Right, two and three.
Yeah.
But is there any argument against Texas and Ohio State week one, other than the fact that we probably all wish the game wasn't at 11 a.m.?
No. There's real no argument. That's my 1-1 as well. It should just be a thriller. It should be.
All right, so I've got the obvious ones. All right, and then you will have two and three.
I'm going to go Battle of the Tigers.
Okay.
LSU Clemson. I also think that's kind of a no-brainer at the 1-2. This is where, I mean, there are some other ranked matchups that I like. I am very curious about this one just to see the change in how these teams play for this upcoming season. Let me also grab Notre Dame-Miami.
Yeah, I thought about, like, you could get cute, but
There are a couple other fun ones in there. There are.
This is where... All right, so I've got back-to-back, right?
Yes.
All right, so you took Miami and Notre Dame. All right, so for two and three, all right, I think... All right, I have to. I'm fascinated by it. Give me North Carolina TCU.
Wow, okay.
I just think Bill Belichick's coaching a college football game.
There's some juice there. I don't disagree. That's on my list. 100% that's on my list.
All right, and the next. This is annoying because I'll be calling a game during this game.
Is it one of the Friday games?
Yeah, I'm going to take Auburn and Baylor.
Okay. Okay. That was definitely as well on my list for my next pair of picks. So you've got Auburn Baylor.
Yep.
Gosh, that game should also have some juice. I'm going to grab Alabama and Florida State.
Okay.
I am very curious to see how Ty Simpson looks. Also going to be interesting to look at what Alabama does for the first couple weeks without Jam Miller, which we did get news on that. Did you see that they're planning on his return for the Georgia game?
Yeah, imagine that, huh?
Shocking, right? There is a thought that, man, I don't know if that's the first game I want to come back into coming off injury, but, you know, we move. This one has a little bit of interest locally, as well as it could also be kind of interesting because games at this location always seem to be a little bit interesting. I'm going to go with a Thursday game. Let me grab Boise State, South Florida.
All right, so you took Boise, South Florida. It was on my list.
Yep.
All right. Am I back to two or one?
It's a snake, so it should be two both ways.
Okay. All right, so you have taken...
I have.
I've got it. I've got the list right here.
Okay.
All right, so give me... I always love... Oh, we got a conference game with good uniforms.
That might be one that is also on my list.
All right. Give me Georgia Tech, Colorado.
Okay, not on my list.
It's a Friday night game.
Fun game.
And then, God, there's so many games. Give me MSC State, Southern Miss. I love when I love when the power school goes to one of the other schools and plays them. And you've got Huff bringing his whole team from Marshall.
Oh, that is in Hattiesburg.
Like that's there's something about those games that I love.
Okay. I did not know that one was going to be in H-burg.
Yeah.
Okay.
That changes it.
That does. Oh, 100%. If that was in Starkville, it's also the 11 o'clock ESPN game on Saturday. See, now is where I get a little bit torn because I have two on my list. Are we down? Are we still going two? Or are we?
Yep, you got two.
Okay. This might be the conference game that you're thinking of. Actually, no, they're not in the same conference anymore.
Oh, I did screw that up. Were you thinking Utah, UCLA?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, actually, give me Utah, UCLA. I want to see what Nico looks like. Shoot, actually, that's back-to-back former conference mates because I'm going to go Cal and Oregon State.
Okay, late night.
Late night, a little former PAC action.
Yeah, this is just like, remember when I used to lose all the money on these teams? All right,
9:30 game out there in Corvallis. Oregon State opening as a 2-point favorite.
All right, I'm going to take NC State, ECU. Last time these two teams fought or played, they had a fight.
Ooh.
I always love that.
A little spice.
ECU, again, it's even though it's in Raleigh, I still like these types of games. And then
they neutral side in that game?
No, it's whatever. It's at Carter-Finley.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right, and then I'm going to take the Beamer Bowl. Give me Vatek, South Carolina on Sunday.
I was looking at that one, too.
All right, so let's go to 10.
Okay. So we are each at...
6, right?
6 now. Yeah, we're at 6 each. Oh, man. See, now
I think I screwed it up. I'm at 7.
Are you at 7? Well, you know, you had the first pick.
Okay, yeah.
That's why. I would. Let me grab the Orange Bowl.
Okay.
The Orange Bowl, Syracuse, and Tennessee.
The Orange Bowl in Atlanta?
Yes. Battle of the Oranges. I'm almost hard-pressed not to grab one of the very local games. Jeez. I already grabbed that one. I'm not. There are a bunch of these that you want to look at, but they're just going to be awful games. Yeah, they might come back up. Let me grab... Georgia Southern and Fresno.
Okay.
That one could be fun.
GSU.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I got real concerns about Fresno. How much of that did you catch on Sunday? Or Saturday night?
Not enough. Bad.
I'm worried about Mountain West football.
No.
Like, I don't think they have money.
I mean, well, we knew that much. That we also did talk about that game, and we're like, it's Kansas. They were actually pretty decent last year.
I mean, they opened their new stadium, and they were lit.
Stadium did look really nice,
like,
by the way.
It was popping. It looked like it was shoulder to shoulder.
The rock chalk in the upper deck is, it's money. So nice.
All right, so I'm going to take Nebraska and Cincinnati.
Okay.
And then it's another in-state. I would have had this one higher, but UTSA doesn't actually show up in these games. Like, whenever they get their big boy moment, they kind of turtle.
Yeah.
But give me Texas A&M and UTSA.
Okay. Oh, man, now we're... Now we are kind of we're kind of digging now, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's one that you got to be kind of sick, but I actually am into it. Like,
which one is your sicko game that you're looking at that's left?
I think the two teams that just played in Ireland have fascinating games. Ooh. Kansas State is taking on North Dakota, and Iowa State is hosting South Dakota. If I just played all the way across an ocean and I'm coming back, those are not two FCS teams that I want to see.
No, they're pretty routinely very good.
We've also got Northwestern and Tulane out there.
True.
I think on...
I was looking at, there was a... Who's UTSA playing?
UTSA's playing Texas A&M. I took that one.
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right.
But we've also still got...
We have our local games.
How much do you believe in? How much do you believe in the MAC? Because Miami goes to Wisconsin. That's a Thursday night special.
Can I say not much?
Well, I mean, if I tell you Miami of Ohio is up 17-14 in the fourth, aren't you a little interested?
Oh, that always has a little spice, but that's some, you know, some midweek action that we're kind of used to.
I think it's possible that Wisconsin's got problems.
Yeah.
I mean, you're now getting to the point where you're just like, I just kind of want to see the new quarterbacks. Like,
exactly. And I'm hard pressed. I'm just going to take our local games. I'm just going to take Chattanooga at Memphis and Georgia State at Ole Miss.
All right, so Georgia Southern, you got both Sun Belt Georgia schools.
I was going to say, because you took Tech.
Yeah. All right. And then so one more piece?
Yes.
All right. Then give me that Tulane Northwestern game.
Okay.
And then you close it out.
Close it out. Let's grab. Let's see.
You could get.
Just for the potential.
Bryce Underwood's first start.
True. Is this the first game at Pitbull Stadium?
I believe that is correct. You just want to see it?
I just want to see
it. You just want to see if Mr. Worldwide's bringing recognition?
Absolutely.
Bethune-Cookman.
Bethune-Cookman and Florida International.
You can catch that one on ESPN Plus on Friday.
Is ESPN Plus even a thing anymore?
Apparently we're still calling it that for at least, I guess, through the fall. Like, or maybe till we get to where you can't. So
I guess.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, that is our draft of week one. It's a great week one.
It's an awesome week one.
It's a great week one. Lots of games to get excited. Do you know how often you can't actually pick 10 games? I mean, I know it got thin at the end, but you can still, like...
We got through 10, and we're like, oh gosh, we have a lot more.
Correct.
You know, we have some more.
We blew through the first 10 games, so it's an exciting week of football. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, George, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. TJ Houshmandzadeh was on with Ocho Cinco and Shannon Sharp on the Ball Out podcast, and he said the reason why the Browns handled the way that they did their third preseason game is that Kevin Stefanski was trying to rig the quarterback situation to make Dylan Gabriel look better while Shador playing with no players who are going to be or playing with the players who are going to be cut would ensure that there's no controversy for the Browns. Y'all, are you familiar with who the Browns had at quarterback? They're not really shying away from controversy. They gave Deshaun Watson a guaranteed contract.
For about $1 billion.
I am going to miss the preseason Shador takes.
Can we also...
They are just tremendous.
Can we also look back and see that Shador also played with starters and second string guys in every other game? Just saying.
They're not running the 2-minute drill or whatever. I was just like... What about when Shador ran 30 yards backwards and then ran into a sack? Like,
it happened.
Want to thank Jason Munns for being on the program as well as Coach Hurd. If you miss anything, he'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For the birthday boy, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.